It's time to talk to financial planner Brad Graber of investingintruth.com. And we've been going through Brad's boot camp program that he has on his website. And Brad, first of all, good morning. Thanks for joining us again.
Oh, always glad to be here.
And today we're going to be talking about tackling your debt. Oh, man, I got to tell you, I've been looking through all of the boot camp material that you have posted at investingintruth.com. And this whole next series of homework pieces and blog articles that you have posted are really hitting home for me. They're a huge help.
We finally get into the practical application on debt.
Well, how do we start to tackle our debt? Because for so many of us, it's this big, looming, dark thing that feels so much bigger than we are. And we treat it like the elephant in the room, Brad. If we don't talk about it, nobody will notice it. It'll go away.
And it doesn't seem to go away.
No.
Yeah, it's one of those things where we can either be struck with fear because it does seem so big, or on the other hand, sometimes I see people get so excited to tackle their debt and get rid of it that they skip some essential steps along the way, too. And I can see some problems with jumping into it too quickly as well. So the first step I think everybody needs to take is that we have to understand the reason why we have the debt to start with. So if we don't first examine what got us into the debt, then it may not actually do us any good to start paying off the debt. Because, I mean, just look at the example of people that take credit cards and consolidate them into one loan that has a lower interest rate, a lower payment, and they think that that's the plan to get them out of debt, but they never fix the heart issue that got them into debt to start with. They're overspending or whatever the issue may have been. It could have been sinful desires and materialism that got them into debt. And if they don't fix those problems first and address those problems first, then next thing you know, they got this big consolidated loan debt of old credit card debt, and they've got new credit card debt to add on top of it.
Well, I know it's too easy to blame the credit card companies and say, well, yeah, I've got debt, I could handle it, if they just weren't charging so much in interest. But that was kind of the deal when we signed on, wasn't it?
It was, and it's easy to cast blame, but the first step, just like I said, we've got to look inward, we've got to examine the heart and see what's really going on there and how we got into the position we're in to start with. And once we've done that, if we recognize sinful behavior in our lives, we got to repent of it. So if we see that it was from, some form of sinful desire where we weren't honoring God, we weren't seeking God first, and it was our own choice to take out this debt, then we need to step back, we need to repent of it, which involves turning from it as well.
And that part of it, turning from it, you said the next step is we commit to no new debt. That's really, I'm thinking, you know, for people that are hearing that, they're going to say, that is so hard. What if I have an emergency coming up? Or, you know, if there is a need that I didn't expect, my kid needs something, you know, yeah.
Yeah, and there may be those type of situations. So if we've got a lot of debt, we have to realize we probably haven't done a very good job of planning for the what-ifs that may come up, and we'll get to that next. But the hardest time to commit to no new debt is going to be at the beginning of this process because we have, like I said, we've done no other planning. So we've got to make that commitment at some point, though. And it's important to draw that line in the sand and say, from this point forward, I'm not going to take on any new debt unless I seek, if I run into a situation that I don't see any other way other than taking on debt to cover this bill or this emergency, then we have to seek wise counsel. And that's why it's so important to put that counsel around us, identify who are those wise counselors that I can go to when I get into a tough situation. And I go to them, I lay out the situation, and if they advise me that, yeah, debt may be the only solution here, then, you know, that's one of those results of the sinful behavior or the situation I found myself in long ago that has led me to now have to take on debt one more time. But in a lot of situations, that wise counsel may see another way around it without us taking on additional debt going forward.
Yeah, got to have the accountability to kind of hold us responsible to ourselves. Let's talk about saving for emergencies. I think, again, a lot of us don't know how much we should set aside. Maybe some of us don't even have that emergency savings account at all. Where do we start with that?
Yeah, and this is a very important step. If you notice, I haven't gotten to paying off any debt yet. So all these steps are coming before we even start paying off debt. And I feel that's so important because we're trying to create a permanent solution to our debt problem. And if we just jump in and start paying off debt without building a firm foundation, I think we're on a path that can go backwards. So, you know, we've talked about not taking on any new debt, addressing the problems that we have, and now we have to start saving for those what-ifs that may come down the road. We know that expenses are going to come that we can't foresee today. And we need to be prepared for those, because if we're not prepared for them, guess what? When they come up, our only option is going to be to take on new debt. So that's why it's so important that even before we start tackling our debt and paying off additional amounts of our debt more than the minimum payments, we need to make sure we got some money set aside so that when those unexpected expenses come up, we're able to pay them and we don't have to go into debt to do that. And, you know, we've talked about building an emergency fund. That was worth a whole interview in and of itself. But really, it's just a matter of let's assess the risk that we have. What's the likelihood of, varying amounts of expenses coming up that, things going wrong in our house, our car, whatever it may be, or even a change in our income. We need to be able to get an idea of what we need to have set aside to cover those kind of emergencies.
Yeah, that is such a huge Christian principle anyway, Brad, because I'm sitting here listening to you talk about that, and I'm thinking, you know, the same goes if I were not in God's Word every day, then that, you know, that account is going to be emptied. And when I have an emergency, what am I going to do? I'm going to come up empty. Where am I going to go for that word that gives me life, hope, et cetera, comfort and peace? It's kind of the same thing, but now we're just talking about finances. But you also talk the next natural step is saving for future planned expenses. Give me some examples.
Yeah, so if we know that we've got future things coming up, so if there's a car expense going to be coming up in the next year or two, if we have a family vacation that we know we're going to be taking, whatever it may be, if it's something that we're going to want to do and want to spend money on, and it's something that we think is a wise use of our money, that day is going to come when we're going to have that expense. So whether it's a year down the road, 2 years down the road, and if we don't plan for it, what do we think is going to happen when that day comes? Well, again, it's like when the emergency comes and we don't have an emergency fund build up. We're not going to be able to pay for it. So if we've got those important things that are coming up, we need to be looking, you know, God gives us the wisdom to be able to look down the road and plan for some things. Some things we can't see, we're not in charge of the future, but other things we can see, and if we know they're coming, then we need to be setting money aside so when that day comes, we're able to handle it and pay for it in cash. So, I use the example of a car. If our car's on the last leg, we know that day is coming when we're going to have to get another vehicle. So we better start saving for that today. And rather than paying down our existing debt and then taking on new debt when the new car rolls around, why not save today? We can pay down as much debt as we can, but we need to be prudent and save so that we get out of this cycle of debt. We've got to get out of this mentality that when we need something, we can go get debt. That's why that line in the sand is so important and making that commitment to no new debt, because even if I make minimum payments on every amount of debt that I have today, eventually the debt is paid off. So I can do a calculation for you today and say, this making minimum payments, this is when your debt's done. This is when you're debt-free. But the moment I go and take on a new loan, that whole calculation gets reset and the timeline is reset. So there never is that end to it. We've got to change that lifestyle. We've got to change the way we're processing and thinking through the way we spend money.
Well, we need to point out, too, that, you know, when we say we're not going to take on any new debt from this point on, that also does not relieve us of the responsibility of taking care of paying that old debt, because those interest charges are going to accrue, and then you can end up in a legal problem.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Now, we're at step six, but we're finally to the point where we need to pay our debts. So once we've handled these other things, it takes me back to Psalm 37:21 that says, the wicked borrow but does not pay back. I don't think the wicked is really who we want to be in company with. So even if we don't like the decisions we made in the past, our lenders may not be all that friendly to us. We've made a commitment by borrowing that money. We promised to pay it back, so we've got to do it. And it's not always fun. It's not always easy. But it is that commitment that we made, and we honor God by living up to those commitments we've made.
Well, Brad, we've got a couple of minutes left. If we can squeeze this in before we let you get off the phone, let's talk about bankruptcy as a solution, when that's appropriate, when that's not appropriate, because I know you have said in your blog posts, which I've read, that that's an often abused practice, in your opinion.
Yeah, and I find that it so easy to get overwhelmed with these big debt problems. And, you know, debt is a loud voice in our lives. And we're talking a lot this morning about finances, but really this is all spiritual application here. And what is the reason why we're doing this? It's not so that we have more money at the end of the day. The reason we're doing this is because we want to honor God with our lifestyle. And like I said, debt is a very loud thing in our life. And I find that it's disruptive to our prayer time. It's disruptive to our family time. Every aspect of our life, debt can really be a hindrance in that. So we're trying to get out of debt to ultimately serve God better and be more available to Him. But back to bankruptcy, we've made the commitment, and because of the loudness and the noise that debt makes, so quickly people are ready to say, I can't handle it anymore. I've got to declare bankruptcy and be free of this. And as long as we're out there spending money voluntarily on optional things that we're doing for our own pleasure, I don't think we should be jumping to bankruptcy, because we've got a commitment. So how serious are we to honoring that commitment? And I think we need to make sure that we're doing everything we possibly can to honor that commitment to pay off those debts. And sometimes that comes at the sacrifice of other things that we may be wanting to do. Now, that doesn't mean that bankruptcy is always a bad choice or a sinful choice, because the legal system has provided bankruptcy. You know, we see in the Old Testament, we see the year of Jubilee, which was, you know, when people made bad choices, land wasn't lost forever. It was eventually reset back to who it should have been owned by originally. So what we see with bankruptcy is our legal system has given that exit route for the people that have got in so far over their head, there is no other way out. And in some cases, there can be abusive lenders. In other cases, there's just an undue amount of mental stress being placed on the person that has the debt. And in cases like that, again, we've got to get that wise counsel and see if that is really the route we need to go before we go there. And we need to take that decision very seriously. But in some cases, I can see it being a viable route.
Brad, you also talk about what to do if you find yourself in trouble paying back your debts. Let's take the person who has been considering bankruptcy. They've taken a realistic look at their situation, and they're saying, I can possibly pay this back and avoid filing bankruptcy, but this might be really hard, and I might not be able to make every payment. What do I do in that case?
It's important to have open communication with the people you owe money to. And I've talked to numerous bank employees over this, and they always say, you know, if these people would have come to us early on and not paid us and not communicated with us, we could have worked something out. And in so many cases, when we find ourselves in a tough position, the first thing we want to do is hide. And it's really the last thing we should do in the case of debt. We really need to reach out to those people that we owe money to, communicate to them about what our situation looks like, what we're struggling with, and see how we can work out a mutually beneficial situation. Because they don't benefit if we ultimately file bankruptcy, so it should be in their best interest to help us pay them back. And to the extent that they give us some easier terms to pay them back, gives us a little more freedom and flexibility today in our own personal situation.
So maybe sometimes we're taking what looks like a monstrously huge dark debt situation. Maybe in our minds we're making it bigger than we think it, you know, really should be. Maybe we're really kind of deceiving ourselves. We just need to drag that thing out into the light and get it dealt with.
That's exactly right. And, you know, that's I like how you say drag it out into the light. That's exactly what we need to do with our sin, which is where we started with this conversation. Everything needs to have that light shined on it. We need to surround ourselves with other godly people that can look into it and see it, hold us accountable to anything that we may be doing wrong, but also help us to stay the course with the plan, because there will always be frustrating times as we're trying to pay off our debts. We may build up an emergency fund and then something big comes along and drains it. Those are discouraging times, but we got to remember what we're ultimately trying to accomplish and surround ourselves with people that will help us ultimately get there.
We're talking with financial planner Brad Graber of investingintruth.com. And Brad, we're out of time, but before we let you get off the phone, share with everybody, again, just a brief refresher on what you're doing, what this boot camp thing is that you have at investingintruth.com, because I've been looking through it, and it is hugely helpful.
Yeah, I spent the last year, well, I've been teaching on this class for 8 or 9 years now, I believe it is, and last year I took the time to try to write down a lot of my course materials in article form. So if you go to the website investingintruth.com, you can see a tab for financial boot camp, and it's it's just designed to be a logical progression that you can go through. You can take your small group through it if your church wants to go through it, you know, even bits and pieces of it. It's pretty topical as you go through from step to step, but it is built logically. And the whole idea is let's explore God's Word. Let's see what He has laid out for us on how we should integrate finances into our spiritual lives. And let's try to live that out and honor Him through all those things.
Amen. Hey, Brad, thanks again for joining us. Our time passes much too quickly, but I appreciate you taking the time.
Always a pleasure.